We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. It is good. Are you guys doing all right this morning? You doing all right? I'll tell you, I'm ready to get into part two. This is one of those things where when you prepare a message, sometimes you just look at it and you go, if I want them to still love me, this has to be a two-parter. Otherwise, they're going to be here till lunch, right? And so I'd prefer you to still love me. And so you're welcome. This is part two. Hopefully, has anyone had any opportunities to apply what they've learned this past week? Anybody share their faith a little bit? Yeah, I see some hands back there. Come on. Something about being a witness. So I'm going to pray again because we're in church and it's okay. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you help us in this life. Father, it's not just about the hereafter, but it's living here with power. It's living here with purpose, Lord God. And so we come to your word, Father, not as critics of your word, but allowing your word to critique us. Lord, we pray that we would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Part two today, we're going to be talking about witness. Witness, this idea, how many people grew up in a time where there was a play called The Witness? Anybody? I mean, there was this huge play that swept the nation in a lot of churches, and it was an Easter play, and it was about Jesus and the cross and all of that stuff, and it was called The Witness. And then there was a song by Carmen called The Witness, and there was all this stuff. And so when I talk witness, I immediately kind of cringe, like 80s is calling. You know, like, oh, The Witness. I still remember that song. So the point is, how many know sometimes we got to get over some of the things? Like, for instance, some people, when you talk about being saved, people cringe. Why? Because they have this preconceived notion of what being saved means. However, how many people want to be saved? How many people can get over the name so that they can be saved? Like, I do want to be that, but I know what. No, come on. Not only do we want to be saved, if you are saved, being a witness is proof of that. In fact, sometimes I wonder, God, am I really saved if I'm not willing to be a witness? Because the very heart of God is not a selfish heart. So for us to live a life where, because we know Jesus, everything else is fine and we don't need to do anything else, is actually against God's character and nature. So if I'm saying, God, transform me from the inside out, I want to be more like you, what does the fruit look like? Some of the fruit. I call it the low-hanging fruit because it's accessible to others. It's a witness. It's being a witness of what God has done. Remember what we said last week? What? God, he's not expecting you to be an expert. He just wants you to be a witness of what you've seen, what you've heard. What do you know? Remember? Are you guys with me? So, again, God didn't call us to be an expert. He called us to be a witness. Acts 22:15, the Apostle Paul reminds us, for you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have what? Seen and heard. What you have seen and heard. You know, we talked a little bit about being on the witness stand. I did you a favor by letting you watch a little clip from my cousin Vinny last week. And there's something powerful about just talking about what you know. Because how many know when it comes to talking about your faith, when it comes to talking about Jesus, you can get a little bit like, am I going to do it right? I kind of feel uncomfortable because what if I do it wrong? No. Rest assured, you can't do it wrong if all you're talking about is what you know. Take the pressure off. I remember, years ago, Pastor really helped us, help instill in us the fact that all we're supposed to do is tell our story. Because no one can speak against your story because it's yours. No one can tell you you were wrong. You've lived it. Isn't that right? Those with experiential knowledge are never at the mercy of those with theoretical knowledge. Someone may think they understand God, but you know God. Someone may think they understand what Jesus is about, but Jesus is your Savior. Someone may think they understand what Easter is about, but it transformed your life. Someone may think they understand that there's a chance for God to help their own life, or that he might be able to shift and, you know, maybe God can. No, but he can and he has. What has he done for you? That's all I'm talking about. You know, so the fact of being a witness, it is a fruit that we must bear as Christians. Are you following me? People say, but Chad, I don't know how that person feels based on what they went through. I wasn't there in that situation. Anybody? I know how to speak. Do I even know how to speak to that situation? Well, what do you know that can help someone? Maybe you don't know how to fix that situation, but what do you know that could help them in general? Right? More importantly, who do you know that can help that person? You know, I talk with somebody and they're talking about problems with their vehicle. And I'm like, oh, I got a great guy. This guy does great work. He does it, you know, at a cheaper price. I want to tell you about him because he can fix your problem. You know, I got this great master mechanic over there, blah, blah, blah. You tell people about people that can fix their problems, don't you? Anybody ever done that? You know, somebody says, man, I'm starving. Oh, well, if you're going to be in that city, what you need to do is go to this place. I'm telling you, they'll take care of you. You know, I had a guy in here a couple Sundays ago, and he goes, oh, I like your haircut. We kind of have a similar haircut, and I'm here out of state. Where should I go to? And I'm like, oh, I'll hook you up. So I tell him about my barber down the road, and then I'm at my barber in the barber shop yesterday. He's like, hey, man, thanks for sending me that person. That was great. You know, that Southern California connection you sent me, you know? And I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm just trying to help people when they have problems. So why don't we speak more of Jesus when the biggest problem they have is the one answer we do know? I'm so quick to tell people about my barber who is not saved, who I would not recommend them going out with on a weekend, maybe. I tell them about the place down the road that serves great food up to a certain time, and then after that time, you may not want to be in there because, you know, it gets a little different. So I send people to places. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when Jesus, who is pure in everything and can help all the time in everything, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can talk about that. You may not like me. It may change something between us. Do you realize us isn't going to matter after you die? If you want us to have any chance of seeing each other again, you might want to talk about the thing that matters. Right? Who else smiles when they talk about death? Look, you say, I wasn't there. But even if I wasn't there, if I didn't see the situation or feel the other person's hurt, can I help fix someone's perception of God, Jesus, his church, based on what I've seen, heard, and come to know? You see what I'm saying? You go, well, Chad, I don't know. They were hurt in church. Well, then they were in the wrong church. Or they were in the right church, and they encountered real people who have real problems, who rubbed them the wrong way. And that's okay, because we're supposed to be an adult, and we're supposed to be able to move on, and we're not supposed to be bitter and withhold forgiveness. We've got to grow. I believe God required the church so that we would have some friction in our life. People think the church is only here to help us. Yeah, but help hurts sometimes. How many have ever had surgery? Help hurts sometimes. Stitches? You know, I think of some of the certain in and out daytime surgery where they're like, oh, we'll just do a local anesthetic. I'm like, no, you're going to knock me out. They're like, well, we're not, no, you're going to knock me out. Like, that's how it's going to happen. You know, no, sometimes it hurts and sometimes it is the way it is. Chad, they were hurt in church. Well, maybe a person in that church acted outside of God's character. That does not all of a sudden make God schizophrenic. What it does mean is someone unfortunately misrepresented God that day. Right? I personally know somebody that was affected in the painful priest scandals in this area. Personally affected by it. Now, I can't pretend to act like I know what that feels like. But what I can do is speak about what I do know. What I've seen and what I've heard about God, and what happened there was not God. What happened there was not God ordained. What happened there was not God's hand. It was someone else misrepresenting God. Anybody? So what I can do is I can say, look, I can't understand everything you're going through, but let me tell you who God really is. Can I just fix the perception that you have of God? Because I don't know everything, but what I know is what happened to you, God is hurting more than you are about it. God is just waiting to embrace you. And if you would stop blaming him as the problem and seek him as the answer, you will be restored in Jesus' name. Amen? That's how it works. We seek out God. He doesn't become our scapegoat. So why should we continue to be a witness of what we have seen, heard, and know? Number one, numero uno, your witness is powerful. It's not just some sort of action that maybe you should do. No, it's powerful. I love what Revelations 12, 10 through 11 says. It says this: salvation and power are established. Kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah. The accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. So the accuser, of course, we're talking about the devil or the adversary or Lucifer or Satan, whatever name you want to call him. But the point is, how did we overcome our adversary? Through the blood of the Lamb. Through the word of our testimony, through our witness. There's power in what you're not speaking. There's power that is released. I'll tell you right now, there are people that have been living too long in a storm in their life. You feel like, man, you're trying to make the best of a worst situation every single day. What if you opened your mouth and took control of your world again by what you said? What if you decided to get out of the boat that's trying to shipwreck your life and walk on water with Jesus? What if you decided to do the very thing that doesn't look like it's the thing, but it is the thing, and that's how God works? Man, you want to talk about things that don't look like the thing, but it is the thing because that's how God works? Talk about the Holy Spirit. That? What do they say? God, he doesn't do things based on our playing field. He doesn't do things based on our knowledge and what we can understand. His ways are higher. Just a thought. Our witness is powerful. Your witness, your testimony, your story about what God has done for you has the power to overcome the adversary, your enemy, the devil. In the same way, it can overcome things that at work, the things that are at work trying to dismantle your life. It also can help be the encourager that helps lift the doubt that has hung heavily over your friends and family. When people doubt because they are unsure, experiential knowledge becomes a game changer, doesn't it? How many people have ever had coffee too late in the day, chocolate too late in the day, and you find yourself up really late and you're watching infomercials? Because that's the only thing on. And you watch it. Like my wife, I got to go there. So when Julie was a teenager, her and someone else in this church. Should I say? Yeah, Shauna. Her and Shauna, they were watching this infomercial about one of those like lose weight machines that you strap on. And like the vibrations and the electronics, they're supposed to, like, you know. And how many know the idea of strapping something to your body and the electric charge is going to burn off stuff that you... Do you know how crazy that sounds? Do you understand? Yet there are people who speak with experiential knowledge, who give reviews of the product on the infomercials. I've done this, and look at my before picture. Look at my after picture. And you're like, experiential knowledge. I thought it was crazy. But look at these people. You know, all of a sudden you buy into something that sure enough makes your lip twitch because you shouldn't attach it to your body for that long. You know, it recommends 20 minutes use and you guys are watching 2-hour movies thinking you're going overtime and your lip starts twitching. Sean, in this service or next service? I didn't even tell her this was coming out of the bag. That's what happens when you grow up with me in church. Sorry, you just never know when your weeks happen. But anyway, the point is, there's something about experiential knowledge. There's something about when somebody says, man, I've experienced it. There's immediately this like, okay, all right, how about this? How many of you have booked a hotel? Maybe on Groupon or on Kayak or wherever, doesn't matter. But what do you do before? You're like, that's a killer deal. The first thing you do is look at reviews, experiential knowledge. Somebody tell me what they've actually seen. You know, someone's like, hotel was good, but you have to share the room with cockroaches. You're like, not that kind of hotel. So there's something about experiential knowledge. But have you ever noticed when it comes to reviews, who tends to speak the loudest? Those that are upset. Those that are upset. And so if we carry that same thought process, when it comes to God, who tends to speak the loudest? Those who do not know and see the goodness of God, those who think what happened was because of God. What if those that truly knew God actually decided to take a minute and give him a review? What if those that know the goodness of God actually took the time? Not that God needs us to clear his name, but if we're called to witness, maybe we should. Man, you know, I just look at it and I go, when's the last time you went and reviewed your own church online? When's the last time you went and talked to somebody about who Jesus really is? Because you know they don't like God because they think God did something that you know God didn't do. Your experiential knowledge is powerful. Be a witness to what you know. I was recently shopping, which is not a surprise. We have to leave for some directors' meetings today. How many know it's great to be part of a church that has influence in the network? That's a good thing, you know. Our Wave network that we're a part of, there's tons and tons of churches involved in this network, and we actually have 4 seats at the table of, I think, about 12 people, so maybe a little more than that, which is a good thing, yes? Okay, I thought so. But anyway, back to me shopping because I'm leaving town, and that's the way it happens. So I'm shopping at this store, and some of these managers in these stores, they get to know who I am. You know, it is what it is. And some of you are like, yeah, I could see that. But so I'm back in this and he goes, hey, what's going on, man? I kind of look at him like, right store, wrong store. And he goes, yeah, right store, but I'm usually in Framingham. And he's like, yeah. So we start talking you know, somehow I think what it is if you talk with me long enough, I'm probably going to talk about God or church or Jesus or something. Somehow it's going to come up because you talk about what you're passionate about. You should probably remember that. And so if you never talk about Jesus, so anyway, ooh, burner, zinger. So as I'm talking with him, he ends up talking, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, let me tell you what I do, you know? And you go, well, Chad, that's an easy door for you, but I would have found it even if he didn't ask that. That's just like an easy one. So I start talking to him and come to know, he and his girlfriend, they've been looking for a church. Okay. You know, I don't even know this guy, but looking for a church, he's asking me to write all the information down. He's asking me to give him the times. And so this manager at the store, just because I was willing to have some low-hanging fruit, just because I was willing to talk to him, just because I was willing to do what God's asked me to do, who knows what could happen in his life? Who knows what could shift in his eternity? Because I was just willing. Number 2, why else should we be a witness? Because your witness brings clarity. Your witness brings clarity. In this foggy world of quote-unquote theoretical knowledge and a halfway thought-out opinion, when someone testifies to an experiential knowledge, the fog begins to lift for the individuals who are seeking truth. It won't lift for those that are hard-pressed in knowing what they know and they don't care of another angle. How many know there's some blind spots in your car? Anyone ever backed into something because you didn't see it? Anyone ever switch lanes and almost crash into a car because you didn't see it? And you're like, just playing. I'm a good person. Watch me put my blinker on and go really slow. No, we have blind sides in our life too. And those that admit they have blind sides are those that are open to someone else speaking into it. Some people that never want to hear what may be truth, it's because they're not open to the fact that they have blind sides, blind spots, yeah? And so check this out. I love this scripture. Let's look at John 1, 1 through 13. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Who's he? Jesus is the Word, right? So actually, let's do this again. Let's start again. And every time we see Word or light, let's say Jesus, okay? In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through who? Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. So Jesus gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to the world. That's literally light this time. The light shines. Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Yes? Are you following me? All right, you get the point. So anyway, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about who? Jesus. So that everyone might believe because of his testimony, because of his witness. John himself was not Jesus. He was simply a witness to tell about the Messiah Jesus. The one who is the true light, the one who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Anyone? But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. So, reading that, do you understand? John, he was there to testify. He was there to be the witness of who Jesus is, what he was about, and that he was coming. Jesus has come. We now live in the exciting, undeserved privilege. Why should we not be out there like John is? Why should we not be talking of things that are to come, but things that are in me and that are happening now? Why should we not speak about that? It's better than your clap. Your witness to Christ literally turns a light on in someone's world. Do you realize that? And many people you think would never be open to the conversation. In reality, cash registers and managers in stores, the only reason they're going with society's the current stream of society is because they don't know better yet. If you would just speak about what you know, don't act like you know everything because you're a liar. Don't. Just talk about what you know and what you don't know. Just say, hey, honestly, I'm still learning. I don't know that, but what I do know is God is good. What I do know is he changed my life. What I do know is I'm never going back. What I do know is I don't have all good days. What I do know is my bad day is not because of God. What I do know is God is getting me through my bad days. Anybody? What I do know is when I lay my head at the pillow, I worry less because God is good and he's for me. Jesus. And you need Jesus. It's easy for your friends to buy a lie when those with truth hide. I'm going to say that again. It's easy for your friends to buy a lie when those with truth hide. I think I speak more openly about God because I realize when I don't, God, am I hiding? You didn't set this candle. You didn't light me to put me under a basket. So why do I find myself in conversations putting myself under a basket? Why do I, God, I don't want to live like a double agent. I don't want to have two masks. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to myself. Maybe I'm the somebody, the only one in the room. Don't hide what you have seen and heard, what you've experienced and know of God, Jesus, and his church. They haven't been awoken by truth yet because they haven't heard it. They may be open to hear someone's experiential knowledge, Why don't you speak about the grace and a new start with purpose beyond the here and now? Man, those things, people want to live with purpose. How many want a new start? How many today are going, this is my new start again? We're starting, oh man, thank you, Jesus. I was worried walking through the door this morning that you might smite me as I walk through the door. Thank God that's not who you are. Thank goodness you're giving me another chance. Man, we need a new start sometimes. That's okay. It's okay. When I think about sharing my faith, I often think of these scriptures. They're awesome. Look at these scriptures with me. Romans 5. I'm going to give you the actual scriptures because they're not written right there. It's Romans 5, 1 through 2. 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Why? Because of what Jesus did for us. How are we made right? By faith. Faith in what? By Jesus. Why? Because of what he's done for us. Right? Look at that. You just became theologians. Because of our faith, verse 2, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. When I think about the scripture, I'm like, man, I walk in this undeserved privilege. Where I stand right now, I'm not where God's called me to be inevitably, but I'm not where I was. I'm standing in this grace zone. I'm in this undeserved privilege, and this undeserved privilege has more room for those I know. And then inevitably, it's because of this undeserved privilege I'm standing in that is going to allow me to confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. I want somebody to share in that glory with me. Anybody? That's what helps me. I go, okay, look at, I just got to tell somebody about this undeserved privilege. Hey, you don't have to do it. I'm living in a grace zone. I'm living in this place that I'm telling you, from being on your side to now being on this side. You want to be here. You just don't know it yet. If you would just open your eyes, open your heart, open your life to what Jesus could do for you, rather than just trying to live off of what you think you know about who you thought he was, man, everything could change. Let us speak openly about this undeserved privilege. How does it feel? What is that feeling of being forgiven? What if you could just tell somebody, you know, I only got 5 minutes, but I want you to know what it feels like when the weight falls off. I want you to know when the shame is brushed off, when the guilt seems to slide off. How much better do you sleep at night because the devil no longer has power over your life because you're a daughter or a son of God's? People say, well, God made me. I'm part of the family. Not unless you were grafted in through the name of Jesus. Not unless you were adopted because sin separated us. So don't live in some place where you think, I know. I don't know everything, but what I know is what Jesus did for us, and he's the access point. It is exclusively inclusive. It is always only Jesus, and I've got to tell you about it so that you are not turned by every person that happens to tell you they think they know the way. What does this privilege sound like when you speak about it? Does it sound like a privilege, or does it sound like, I don't really want to talk about this. I don't want to make any waves. I don't know how you'll feel about it. That's a posture that hides faith. And where you hide faith, faith dies. Suffocating the spirit. And you say, that's not true. Well, when you don't talk about God, how often do you talk about God? And when you do start to talk about God, how often do you want to start talking about God? Maybe you've only been on one end of it. Try the other end, and I promise you, you'll see what it looks like to breathe life. When you speak about it, does it translate into excitement and deep gratitude? I love this. Look what King David said in Psalm 66. He says this, come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. He didn't say, I will tell you what the Old Testament means. He didn't say, I'm going to break down the Pentateuch for you and help you understand the law. He didn't say, I'm going to sit down and reread you the book of Acts so you understand what the church is supposed to look like. Well, Acts hadn't happened then, so it's okay. You get it. I'm talking about your life now. let me tell you about what he did for me. Just talk about God's goodness. A few weeks ago, I was in a certain coffee shop that I frequent because coffee's of the Lord. Loosely paraphrasing Jehovah Java. I was talking to this local barista, and as I was talking to this person, I just kind of was like, you know that feeling where you're like, I should tell him about Jesus. No, I shouldn't. I should tell him it's going to come out of nowhere. I should. Hey, do you know Jesus? Hello? God, what do you think about God? I don't know. I do. Not everything, but what do you want to know? No, this person's crazy. Like, no, promise. I want somebody to know what I know, because what I know has changed me. And I know I sound crazy. You get to know me, I'm a little bit crazy. It's more of the coffee than anything else. Your coffee, so you make me crazy. But what do you think about church? Do you go to church? Do you have a local church? I do. I got an awesome church. And I know God. And I only say that because I want to invite you to church. Would you come? I've kind of been looking for a church. You have? How's that going? Not very good. I can make it easier. I know a guy. So be praying for my barista and my manager. Yes, it'll feel awkward because your flesh doesn't want to do anything that puts you in a vulnerable situation. But how many know it's pretty vulnerable when Jesus laid down his life on the cross? I'm not going there. I had a thought, but I'm not going there. You're welcome. For those that say I don't use a filter, you're wrong. Number three, your witness will bring results. Why should you do this? Because your witness will bring results. It will show fruit. God's word will show fruit. What he's done in our life will resonate with others. It will. Be confident about what you know, and what you don't know, be honest about and say, I'm still learning. What you're not doing so great about, say, I'm still working. God's still working on me. My vessel, my clay jar is a little tilted. He's working it out. Hurts a little bit. It's okay. Don't act perfect. That's where the church got it wrong for a while. It's where we can get it right. Where people can desire to know God, because they think God is willing to work with them because they're not perfect and they know they're not perfect. And the more that you would just know you're not perfect and stop acting like you're perfect, he'd be more attractive. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Remember, God, he will show fruit. His word won't return void. Look what it says here, 10 and 11. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word, Jesus says. I send it out. God is speaking here. I send it out and it always produces fruits. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Do you understand that when you speak, it will produce fruits? When you decide to speak what God's doing in your life, when you decide to speak of his goodness, it will return fruit. You may not see it right away, but you're being obedient, and not only is it going to bless your life, it will bless the other person's life. It will not return void. Maybe someone else ends up saying, yeah, somebody told me about this church. I'm not going. And that person's like, I'm going. Where was it again? You never know what God's going to do with an obedient word, what you're doing and what you're speaking of. You know what I also know? When we speak our testimony, when we speak our witness, it also keeps ourselves accountable to what we believe. You're like, on record? I'm on record now, God. Okay. That's all I got for that one. We are not responsible to make something happen in the hearts of those we talk to. We are only responsible to be a witness. Let's do our part knowing that God and the Holy Spirit will do theirs. Just do our part. We're called to sow the seed. I remember years ago, I preached a message in Ignited about sowing seed. And the whole message, I just threw seed at them. They had seed in their shoes. They had seed in their hair. They had seed everywhere. I was just throwing seed as I preached the whole message. And I think we broke a vacuum over it. But what I'll tell you is we're not responsible for what happens to the seed. We're called to sow. See, we have it all backwards. Sometimes we think like, okay, well, I sowed the seed. Now I've got to run and make sure it's watered every day. Now I'm going to become overbearing on that person because I feel responsible to make sure it's watered every day. And now I'm actually pushing that person away because I feel responsible to make sure I harvest that. What if God just wanted you to sow the seed? What if God was going to send others, like he always does, in their path? There are people in this church that are in this church not because of one person, but because when they talked to this person and that person, all of a sudden they were like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. They knew everyone in the church and they're like, these people are normal and they're not perfect and they all... Something's going good in their life. I want to come see what's going on. See, if it takes 10 conversations for, say, Mike to come to know Jesus, and I happen to be conversation number 6 out of 4 people, I'm okay with it. I played a part in it. But I'm not going to not speak about what God's doing. Come on, we just got to sow. It will encourage you when you tell your testimony, when you speak, when you witness, it will encourage you. The more I tell people about what God is doing in my life, the more I think about his goodness towards me, and the more I want to tell other people about him. If you would just tell somebody, you'd want to tell somebody else. I'm telling you. Seriously. Acts 4:20 says this, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. It picks up momentum. We can't stop telling people. I turn around, hey, did you know? And they're telling people in a time when they could be killed for it. In a place where they could be killed for it. In a place where many of them were killed for it. But they couldn't stop telling it. I can't get some people to start talking about it. And they have all the privilege in the world. What? People, I'll probably die, but I got to tell you. You got to know about this. Let me talk to you about this undeserved privilege. The privilege I'm going to tell you may take my life, but I must tell you. There's something supernatural going on. When you tell somebody, it encourages you, yeah? All right, I got to finish. Number 4, being a witness makes you more like Jesus. I'm out of time and I'm not out of notes. Even Jesus was a witness to what he saw and heard from the throne room. Do you know that? He was a witness. When you witness, you are more like Jesus. It says in John 3, 31 through 36, it says this. It says, he has come from above and he is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard. But how few people, But how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limits. God himself, look at, the Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. I don't want to be under that. But even Jesus was just talking about what he had seen and heard. John 8:28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. If you would say only what your Father taught you, you would be doing exactly what Jesus did. So why do we so many times try and step out and be more than Jesus? We try and talk about things we don't know. And Jesus is like, I didn't even do that. What's wrong with you? It's hard for me to help you when you're doing things that I didn't even do. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Just, what did you see? What have you heard? What do you know? Number 5, lastly, as I close, who will you tell? Who will you tell? Hopefully this whole time, names have been rolling around in your head like, man, I missed that opportunity. I got to go back and talk to that person. You know what? I'm going to see that person this week. I don't know how I'm going to open the door, but the door's going to be open. Why? I just want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just come in here and feel better about myself and then hide the very gift that he gave me. I want to be more like him. If this church, if your life will be all that God's intended it to be, you'll be more like Jesus if you want to see it. It's through us doing the things God called us to do that we see the blessing and the favor and the purpose fulfilled. That's what it's about. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Speak with me long enough." I'm telling you, this is my part now. I don't know why it's part of the scripture, the end quote. But if you speak with me long enough, I'm going to find a way to talk to you about God, about church, about Jesus. You got some beautiful feet in this room. I actually thought I was going to preach a message called Beautiful Feet. Don't put it past me. There may be a second round on witness called Beautiful Feet. But how beautiful are the feet of a messenger who brings good news? How will they know? The keys can come back. How will they know if we don't tell them? If we don't speak? You know, I'm thinking of other people that I've recently talked to in the last couple weeks. My plumber knows about God. He came into my house. You're in my house. It was God's country. So I'm talking with this guy. And as I talk to my plumber, as I start talking to him about God, I don't even remember how it started. That's kind of how it happens. You kind of find yourself in the middle of the conversation. And he goes, "Metro Church." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is that the place down on Elm Street?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I went to some teen thing like 10 years ago with a friend." He's like, "Did you run that?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I've been wanting to come back to church." I'm just sitting here thinking, if I didn't speak, would that thought ever go anywhere? See, you think you're have this huge leap of faith, hoping that somehow God will turn up in the midst of it, but God's been waiting for you to speak from the beginning. He's just been waiting for somebody. And who knows how many other people have walked by and not done what God's been asking them to do? Will you please step up? And so I pray for my plumber and my barista and my store manager. They've all been invited recently. You may say, "Chad, I have invited people, but they don't come." Me too. If you're in a situation where you have the ability to pick them up on a Sunday morning, pick them up. You have the ability, you know, maybe you're not serving that week and you have it open, meet him for a coffee before church. Offer to buy him a coffee at church. Let's find a way to make it easier. Because how many remember the first time you ever walked into church was not easy? And if we know that, how can we make it easier? Maybe a friendly face that meets him in the parking lot so they don't have to walk in alone. This church, it exists to know Jesus and to make him known. It's what this church is about. It's what it's always been about. And because this church is here, you're here. Because somebody decided to step out into that discomfort zone to be able to share what they know, we're all here together. Isn't that exciting? Let's make this year different. I'm thinking, man, we're a few weeks out from Easter, and what an amazing time for people to come to church. Our mailers are about to be sent out. We're sending thousands and thousands of mailers. We're working hard on preparing this place for the first-time visitor. Why don't you make it your business that you're going to share with people? And if they come, great. If they don't, you did your part. But you're going to tell your story. You're going to be a witness to the things you've seen, to the things that you've heard, to the things that you know. And as we close today, let me also remind you, you can't share what you don't have. Would you bow your heads?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.